The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. This is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith, his coaching staff, and the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Walgreens.
A six-game winning streak ends at a 13-6 loss to the Houston Texans last night at Soldier Field. The Bears 7-2 and with an extra day to prepare for the San Francisco 49ers a week from tonight in the Bay Area. We'll talk all about it next on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.
Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith continues. Now, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Snap job, looking right, throwing right. It is intercepted. Tim Jennings up with it at the 45 to the 40. He's got blockers 30. They're going to say he was down, so I better slow it down. Inside the 25, the seventh interception of the year by the Hawk. Tim Jennings takes it away on 3rd and 11.
That was one of two interceptions for the NFL leader. Tim Jennings, numbers 7 and 8, two of the high points defensively in a 13-6 loss to the Houston Texans. Welcome into Bears Insider featuring head coach Lovie Smith. I'm Jeff Joniak. With you until 8 o'clock tonight. Good evening, Coach. How's everything going? And give us a little synopsis of what you thought about last night.
Well, following up on that highlight of Tim Jennings, you have 8 interceptions in 9 games. You deserve to have a nickname, the Hawk. But disappointing loss. It's kind of simple as that. We knew we were playing a good football team. Thought we would play better. Handle the conditions a little bit better. And just play better. But we did some good things, though, and I thought we finished a lot better than we started.
Yeah, did the disappointment come in that you feel you stubbed your own toe as opposed to what they did? Or you don't want to take anything that is a good football team, a very, very good defense.
And that's what I'm going to say. They're a good football team, but, as we watched the video today, I mean, there were definitely some things we could have done better to make it a better game.
Yeah, and here again, the early struggles. I mean, it's becoming now a theme. Even first snap, I think 5 times in the first 9 games now, something bad has happened on first snap offensively.
Yeah, but Jeff, I just don't think you can group them all together. I know it's happened, but it's about one game to me and what we did that last game. I don't think you carry things over, but that game, the way we started, was unacceptable. It's as simple as that. I mean, it's on a night like that, you have to really think even harder about protecting the football. And when you're here in Chicago, I mean, whether you're on the offensive, defensive side of the ball, turnovers, takeaways are constantly preached. So we didn't get off to a good start.
Yeah, -2 in the differential despite the 2 picks by Tim Jennings. You've already been answering a lot of questions today about the concussions of Jay Cutler and Shea McClellan, of obvious concern around the league. At 3 quarterbacks yesterday, Michael Vick, Alex Smith in San Francisco, and Jay all with concussions. All are treated in their own way. There are league rules. There's team processes as well. How do you feel how everything's gone on? There's been a ton of discussion about it because he stayed in the game after the hit by Tim Dobbins. Alex Smith also stayed in his game for 6 snaps. Apparently he was blurred vision and threw a 14-yard touchdown. So there's a whole lot of complication to it. But in terms of how you handle it and the organization handled it, tell us how.
I think we handle it the way we should. Jeff, you just look at an NFL football game. There are a lot of big hits that happen. Almost every play, some type of impact is happening. And a lot of times, I mean, how do you tell if you don't see someone with symptoms? Every time there's a big hit, you can't start taking guys out of the game because there's a big hit on the game. You take them out if you see them in trouble, or if you're close to a player and you see that he has symptoms of a concussion. But if you don't see that, and I know a lot has been talked about, well, Shea McClellan came out right away. He had symptoms, and he felt that way. He came out of the game right away. Jay didn't. We did evaluate him, look at him. We had time to actually, get to Jay, and he was okay. We know he took a big hit, but, again, there are a lot of big hits in the game. But after that, he did. He played good football for us, And a lot of times you have to rely on what the player tells you, too, on, if he's feeling bad or if, there are symptoms, and there weren't. But once we discovered that he did have symptoms at the half.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah, it's down then. And that's what people asked today for them to look at our track record. We're going to err on caution always with the players. No game is that important. I feel like we did that with Jay, with Shea, and any other football player that we have. We'll never put their career or just, a game in front of their health.
And the NFL was asked to weigh in on it, and they approved of the way, of the Bears handled the situation with Jay Cutler. Right, we'll talk more about everything involving the game. Rod Marinelli, you're going to join us as well tonight, the defensive coordinator, coming up in a couple of minutes.
Now, more of the Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Play clock to 7. He's under center. Sends Marshall to motion to the left side. Second and 13, 45-yard line. Blitz is on. Picked up. Marshall going deep for him. Left side up in the air. Makes the grab inside the 10-yard line. Hangs on at the 9. Biggest play of the day. And Brandon Marshall up with it. And excited to bring it down to the 10-yard line.
That is the play of the week brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. He had the unique opportunity of throwing the ball to himself right there. I never said Jason Campbell's name now that I hear that a second time. So Marshall caught Marshall's pass. That's the way I heard it just now.
Didn't happen very often.
No, that was a great throw. A check at the line from what I'm reading. Jason Campbell connected with a guy who now has 5 100-yard receiving days. Certainly the bright spot offensively yesterday, and that's the most since Marcus Robinson in 1999 before you came here and coached this football team. But making plays. I think he was targeted 12 times as the Bears unable to get the win, though, as the Houston Texans take it 13-6 at Soldier Field. The play of the week brought to you by McDonald's, a proud partner of the Chicago Bears. And I want to ask a Bears question of the Toyota Fan Zone. Tweet any Bears-related question using the hashtag BearsToyota. And it might be answered by myself or Tom Thayer during the Bears Game Night Live broadcast Sunday nights on Fox Chicago. And if the selected question belongs to you, you receive a Bears Pro Shop gift card. So use the hashtag BearsToyota with Lovie Smith and Rod Marinelli coming up next in our next segment. Some of these plays that were made yesterday offensively were made in the passing game due in part to the protection that was, by most evaluations, strong yesterday against an extremely impressive, physical, aggressive pass rushing unit of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, sometimes, Jeff, when you lose, you forget about some of the good things you did do during the game, and pass protection was good with our offensive line and everybody else that was included in that. Gave us an opportunity, on a night when it was hard to really pass the football, but, we're able to get a little bit done with that. What Brandon Marshall has been able to do since he's been here, and you need guys to step up to center stage on nights like that, and he does.
Yeah, came close to getting a touchdown. Here's the thing. That play, Jay's hit by Dobbins and the dump to Devin that was 40-something yards to the 8-yard line, a couple of Kellen David. I mean, any one of those plays could have turned into a scoring drive that changes the game. That's how close it was, and, against – the best competition in the league, if you don't make those plays, they're harder to win games.
Yeah, and we didn't make those plays, but as we look going forward, we have to just know that when we do make those, and there were a lot of opportunities, as you mentioned, and even many more in times when I'm going to go back to the turnovers that we had early on. I mean, those were good drives we had going also, but next time when we get in those situations, we'll handle them better.
How about a run game? They were stingy coming in. So was that more them, or just did they just beat us in that regard?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. Yards were going to be hard to come by, and on a night like that, you have to kind of gang up on the run a little bit, which they did.
Michael Bush had some powerful runs. Unfortunately, the fumble on a big hit by the safety Glover Quinn, but he had the motor running. I mean, that was some big chunks. It's a shame that. Because time of possession was warped in the first half. It settled down because the defense shut him down and got off the field on third down in the second half. But, you could have had a scenario where Matt and Michael could have had a big game together.
Really could have. Yeah. And you mentioned Michael Bush's runs. I mean, they were impressive runs. But it's a shame you did fumble the ball. But just looking at how he ran the football going downhill, we'll need some of those runs later on.
All right. So the defense in the second half, let's look at that because – whatever changed, and I'm certain it's just staying in the gaps and tackling, because there were a couple of situations on really one drive where that didn't happen, And that back is too darn good to let that. You can't have it happen.
No, you can in a night like that again, you know. But giving up 13 points and that one drive is unacceptable, I'm going to say again, for our defense, and that's what they will say. But the second half, after that happened, we needed to tighten everything up, and we did. Gap control, gap discipline was a lot better. Third downs were good throughout the night, and they for sure were that second half. We did what we needed to do, besides just getting a couple more takeaways in a game like that to win the game.
Yeah, and field position, again, was there for you?
Field position was good. Again, there were a lot of things that we will build on.
The play of Urlacher, I think most people really noticed that the explosion into hits is back.
Yes. You know, Brian feels he should, and he hasn't, you know, seen the video yet, but he should feel good about his play. He was going downhill, had some big hits, and we thought that would happen. I mean, we've been saying that's been a constant theme of, you know, he's playing better and better. You want to say that about your entire football team, but that was definitely the case with him.
All right, it's 7:18, time to step away for WBBM's traffic and weather together on the 8th. When we return, we'll be joined by defensive coordinator Rod Marinelli. This is Bears Insider.
Bears Insider continues with head coach Lovie Smith. Joined this week by defensive coordinator Rod Marinelli. Bears Insider on the home of the Bears. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM.
Make it a two-back set, and it's Monster Badouche! Brian Urlacher all over like a predator.
Yeah, Brian Urlacher and the run defense. Defense in general in the second half, very strong, limiting that very impressive back, Arian Foster, to 17 yards, 0 for 6 on third down, I guess less than 60 yards of total offense as the Bears kept it close. Unable to pull off the finish, though. 13-6, Houston with the win, snapping the Bears' six-game winning streak. Welcome back into Bears Insider featuring head coach Lovie Smith and now joined by defensive coordinator Rod Marinelli. Good evening, Coach. How are you?
I'm great.
We were just talking about Brian before the break and how that explosiveness when he just uncoils and hits you, it seems like it's really back right now. Another strong performance by Brian last night. What did you think?
Oh, I agree. You know, he's just getting better and better each week, and you could really see it. He's always coming downhill. And I just think with more reps and practice, you know, he gets his work in, and over a period of time, you just get better and better. And that's what he's doing.
And for those people who think training camp is unnecessary and a preseason's too long with games and so forth, he's repetitively, week after week, saying, man, you know what? I really did miss training camp. I missed that routine, the rhythm, and getting used to seeing things every day from the other side of the line of scrimmage. So he says he missed training camp badly.
Oh, yeah. There's no question. I mean, it's valuable off-season work. Everything we do, you know, in terms of our preparation and our fundamentals, it's all about getting the repetitions in each month, each week.
And so last night, after knowing what you were going to be facing with this type of offense in Houston, was it everything you thought it would be? And how do you think your guys handled the type of scheme that they can throw at you?
You know, it takes a little bit of time, too, to see the speed. You hope you create it well enough in practice, but that thing's even a little bit faster and wider than you think it is. And then the cut from the back, he's a heck of a back. Mm-hmm. But I thought we got better with it as we went. You know, we just first half we had some, well, we lost some gaps. You know, guys either got cut out or overran gaps or some missed tackles, which, you know, you just can't do that. You know, we got to be on point as soon as that thing tees off.
And it's been a very good tackling year overall for the Bears.
Yes.
So, but it just goes to show you a couple of runs on one series can affect the game very significantly. Certainly in that scenario last night with that weather. And knowing that it could have been a low-scoring game because of the two defenses and the quality of their defenses. But overall, have you been pleased with the way this team has tackled in 2012 through the first nine games?
Oh, the season? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we've been tackling. Got our corners really tackled. The back row's been tackling well. Not a lot of missed tackles, really. If we do have them, we're either overshooting the ball. But just got to keep working on that fundamental.
Yeah.
Each week.
And for weeks now, too, you know, yards after the catch has been limited significantly. Number one in the league in allowing just, I think it's 4.6 yards after the catch. So that's not a whole lot. There's no team even close to that in the NFL right now, and that's what this defense is built on. As we've often talked about, the corners have to tackle. Yeah. They did again last night.
Oh, yeah, no question. They do a lot of stuff. You know, I mean, those guys are special players. So it's exciting, that part. But we just got to learn from this and have a great opportunity to move on and get better.
So I know a lot of people are wondering how a guy, and I know we've talked about how he's gone about his business in this offseason, but 7 career interceptions starting the season. Tim Jennings now at 8 in his first 9 games. It's just really something. And it's really a tribute to not only him, but the coaches and how you guys have worked with him. And he's just a competitor, and at 30-plus, making those kind of changes to help sustain his career and solidify his starting job. And then even bigger than that, having a Pro Bowl year. Are you impressed with what he's done?
Oh, yeah. And you always look back to it. The game of football, it's still a blue-collar game. It's a workman game. And he's approached it that way. He came in the offseason and had a plan to get better. It was identified, and he went to work at it. And now he's kind of reaping all his work right now, and we are as a team.
And another nice job done by Charles Tillman on another one of those big Pro Bowl veteran outstanding receivers. He did not give Andre Johnson a lot of room to breathe last night. Just 4 catches, all in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's been doing that all year. Those are, you know, I don't know if they're 2 better corners around to me. I've said that, and we all have said that. They're playing like that each and every week.
All right. Also, I want to talk about the safeties because, you know, those are 2 guys that are growing now. The seeds have been planted, and they're starting to bloom as safeties. But on that first drive of the game, Major Wright made 3 tackles that all saved touchdowns, and you kept them to a field goal. So how's his play been? Is it starting to grow too? And is he now becoming an impact player on your defense?
Yeah. Well, both of them, you know, they're just they got such great speed. The biggest thing, they can play in space so well. You know, they're so athletic. You know, ball skills, the whole thing. And it's just coming together for them. Gil's done a great job with those guys back there. And they're just growing and growing each week. So we need them, and they're definitely doing it.
This is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith and defensive coordinator Rod Marinelli. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix and Verizon. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And it was Israel Adonijé right after the game on the field after the Bears fall 13-6 to the Houston Texans as they go to 7-2, still a 1-game lead on the Green Bay Packers in the NFC North. And get ready now to take on the San Francisco 49ers. Please join us tonight with Rod Marinelli and Lovie Smith at 7:34 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. We want to remind you to support the 24th annual Chicago Bears and Jewel Osco Coat Drive, donating winter coats through December 16th at Jewel Osco stores in the Chicagoland area. Coats will benefit the Salvation Army and public schools in Chicago. Visit ChicagoBears.com for more information. Touchdown at Rod, the second half defense, just some suffocating numbers. The idea against that team sounds to me anyway, and probably the average person, simpler than it looks. It's not so simple. They make everything look the same. Their boots, and they didn't boot that much, right? Last night. Did you expect more of that? I guess, or do you think the weather affected there?
The weather might have affected it a little bit, but it is. It's a. Everything's based on fundamentals in their offense, and their front comes off the ball extremely well. They're good at cutting on the backside, and it's, they kind of just do everything over and over and over again. And then if you're not exact, you're not on point, and then the thing will break on you. But I think we got a chance to see a little bit more, and our front, our defense, the whole front 7, front 8 started coming downhill a little bit better and setting edges on it, and we played a lot better in the second half.
Yeah, definitely did. It was really an outstanding performance overall. And in the big picture, you held a team that was, and I know yards are yards, it matters about the points, and you shut that down, but 156 yards below their season average. And more importantly, despite the fact the Bears turned it over 4 times, you only allowed 3 points off those turnovers. So you knuckled down, and you made the stops to keep it close. And that also is a mark of this defense this year. It's something, no question, you're asking them to do. When things are going bad, you got to dig in and make sure you keep us in the game.
Oh, I mean, that's our job. Let's go out and move to play. We should play great defense. You know, we've got really special players, and it's obviously so important to them. The standards, traditions are high, so just got to go do our job consistently.
You've been thriving with that rotation of defensive linemen. When you find out you lose Shea McClellan at that point, it's just extra snaps for one other guy, right? And most of them, did they go to Corey Wooten?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We went to, Corey got, and he's been getting quite a rep, a lot of reps anyway, and he's doing a nice job. But and then inside a little bit, because we suit up three, and then Izzy can go inside and help us. So he was able to help inside and help outside a little bit. But you like your rotation.
Yeah, yeah. And when you get something used to that and works like that, even one cog in that wheel missing, it changes a little bit for you, doesn't it?
You know, fresh guys, and they're all hungry to play.
Tell us more about where Corey has come, how far he's come.
You know, it's, he's 2 years ago, he had a great camp. You know, we really thought 2 years ago that he was really making great progress, and he got hurt. And I think it was a season opener. And so he, goes back to work, and then just had a tremendous camp again this year. Really thought, and he came right out of the chutes this year. And each week he's been playing better and better. We can flip him both sides. He played inside some. And he's got a nonstop motor, bright guy, and got great size, and good balance and all those things. So every week he's becoming an impact player.
And sometimes when injuries nag a guy down a little bit, it takes a while for that to, the physical maturity also to kick in. He's a bigger man right now too.
Oh yeah, he's kind of gotten man strength. As you get older,
Yeah, exactly. Just like I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I got some of that now, right?
But, it doesn't always come through the weight room. Sometimes it's just the guy grows up and he's getting strong, and he's done that.
You liked that one, didn't you, Lovey? Yeah. Nate Collins, I've had many people, hey, where'd this guy come from? Tell us about him, because he's flashing every game now.
Yeah, he's just so hungry to play. I mean, I really love that about him. He came in here in camp and just didn't say a word, just went in and worked every single day. And he got an opportunity. When he did, he showed, and he plays extremely hard, very physical. He's just going to get better and better, I feel, each and every week. And he's just a worker, our type of guy.
Can you guys give me an idea what the competition's been like at defensive line throughout practice every single week? And you've got another guy, Cheta Ozugwu, who's on the roster that's, I'm sure, just dying to get on the field too. Has it been special? I mean, have you been really pleased with the competition and the effort every single day at practice?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think they're giving our offense a great look, as the offensive line has been giving us a great look each and every week. But they know, I mean, it's on tape, and you got to produce each and every week. And there's guys just dying to get on the field and have a chance and an opportunity. So when your turn comes, you got to produce.
All right, let's take a look, if you can. I don't know how much you've delved into yet for the San Francisco 49ers, given the late game last night. But the first thing you think of when you think of the 49ers right now is they will pound the football.
Oh, no question. They got a heck of an offense. It's as good a line as we've played this year. I mean, it's a big physical group, and a couple All-Pros in there. And most of the offense is first-round picks, as you look at it, And they're playing that way. So it's going to be physical. They do a very creative in the run game with multiple personnel groups. And, the running back is just like the ones we've seen the last couple of weeks, very physical.
And a pretty good dose of a heavy package, putting extra linemen out there. And they've got guys, a tight end listed as a defensive lineman. They've got a fullback as a nose tackle that they throw in there. And how do you counter that? And how does your front handle something like that?
Well, we probably start off saying, let's play our defense, execute our style of play, make sure we know what we're doing. If we can do that and play our gap, we'll be fine.
And Frank Gore, obviously, has been around a while, and he's a back that gives 100% effort every snap of every game. That guy's he's been impressive in his career. What do you think of him?
Oh, I mean, he's straight ahead, he's explosive, and he can make a cut inside or outside, and he's a downhill physical runner. And he gets first contact, he's turning, spinning, fighting for every yard he can get. And I think those blockers really appreciate that. So you see guys going downfield trying to get extra blocks, or receivers, tight ends, they all block very well. So it's, and then sets up all their play action.
I have yet to see the details of yesterday's game other than the end of the game. So I didn't get to see much of Colin Kaepernick. How'd he look when he played he played the second half and part of the second quarter when Alex Smith went down with his concussion. But we know he can run. That's for sure. He's fast. A big, strong guy. Yeah,
he's fast. You know, it's just another dimension. He can. He's run their Wildcat package earlier in the year, so he can throw the ball well. So it's a big, athletic, mobile man, and he puts added stress to you in terms of defense.
Gonna be a fun time. Extra day of prep doesn't hurt, right?
Oh, it's great. It'll be super. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks for joining us, Rod.
My pleasure.
Bears defensive coordinator Rod Marinelli back in our final segment with head coach Lovie Smith after this break on Bears Insider on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.
Well, they had more turnovers than we did. Anytime they beat us in the turnover ratio, they got a better chance of winning. So, of course, we could have did more. We could have got more strip attempts. We could have broken the ball quicker than what we was doing. But we got to win the turnover battle.
That is Coach Tim Jennings. It sounds just like from the boss's mouth. A thumbs up from Lovie Smith on Tim Jennings. Welcome you back to Bears Insider here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. And, we just went through the second half, the numbers. I mean, did just about everything possible to shut them down. And, you didn't get more than the two takeaways. But, that's pretty good, right? Pretty good.
Pretty good, but when you talk after loss, when you listen to any of us, we should be talking about what we could have done better. And Tim, of course, followed suit with that. And then others can talk about their play. And I'm going to talk about Tim Jennings' play yesterday. Well, last night was very good, like he's been playing most of the year, all of the year, really. Of course, he had the two interceptions, but he had a couple of other great plays on the ball. Tackle well. Charles Tillman played an outstanding game also. Our corners really played well.
On the second interception, as you look at it again today, did he get touched?
Jeff,
I'm not asking you to second guess an official's ruling. I'm just saying I can't tell.
Well, when I go back and look at it, I don't really look at it in detail that.
Because
what does it matter? I say, yeah, no, I don't think he was touched. I mean, they're not going to give us anything back. So you just move on. Great play by Tim. Like he's been playing.
And there was points on that return where, should I keep going? Should I stop? Should I keep going? Do you want them to just go now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Period.
Okay.
I mean, Jeff, it's just like if you see our practice of ours.
Right.
There's an incomplete pass. We're picking it up, treating it just like a fumble, and running with it. And the same thing. You let the officials call you back. We want to play until the whistle blows. In that case, the whistle did blow. But if no one stops you from going, we want to keep running.
So the whistle did blow. I didn't hear it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it did. We had an inadvertent whistle on that. But that's how it goes.
Listen to the next Bears All Access Radio show brought to you by Sports Authority Thursday at 6 p.m. on WSCR, 670 a.m., part of the Chicago Bears network of shows here with Lovie Smith. How is Kelvin Hayden doing on that nickel package two games in?
Kelvin played well last night. Kelvin has played at a high level in the NFL for a long time, and moving inside, we didn't have a lot of nickel plays last night, but the plays he was in there, he showed up and graded out well.
I mentioned with Rod, Chetta Ozugwu, if Shea McClellan is unavailable, is that a possibility that a guy like that could get on the field and try and get some snaps, get in that rotation and make a name for himself?
Yes, Chetta would be an option. Matt Tween was a little banged up last week. And Amobi Okoye also would be an option. So that's the one thing about having, 10 defensive linemen on the roster. We have a couple of options.
Now, you like that number? Is that a good number for what you guys plan on doing over the course of a season?
Yes, that's a good number. 9 or 10 is normally the number we'll go with.
All right, Alshon Jeffery, it sounds like there's a lot of optimism, even, hearing you, that he could be back.
Well, yes, but, I'm always optimistic. He was able to do a few things at the end of the week, and we're hopeful. But, I would say in the next couple of weeks for sure. Hopefully he'll be able to go, but don't know for sure. But, we'll see how it plays out.
In retrospect, now that he's missed, I believe, four games?
Something like that.
Yeah, four games. Mm-hmm. What have you missed with him?
Well, I mean,
he's a rookie, but he's...
Yeah, I know he's a rookie.
He made a big impact.
He was a rookie that was impacting our team, was making plays, just another good big receiver, another option on the offensive side of the football, an option that had paid dividends for us. So he'll get back into the mix really quick when he comes back.
I know you were asked this earlier today too, and just the types of plays that were available to be made. You're just begging right now for want somebody to become that other weapon. And each of these guys that have been involved has done it in the past. They have been able to do it. For some reason, it's just not yet happening.
No, it hasn't, but we have seen flashes. And before long, you know, hopefully soon, it won't just be flashes. It'll, you know, there'll be some consistent play that we feel good about.
Kellen Davis's day yesterday. It wasn't, as you said, a day that, you know, he would say would have been one of his better days. But with a guy with that much potential, you would like to see the arrow steadily going up as opposed to up and down, right? Is the consistency the greatest, I can't think of the word now I want to use, but to find that and attain that consistency as a veteran player, because he's been around a while, is that still what makes or breaks a player? Finding that consistency.
Yeah, it does. It does. But I think all players can have a game, you know, a bad game. And you can't, you know, Kelvin hasn't been playing like that. Or Kellen hasn't been playing like that. And he did some good things yesterday. He had a couple of drops, and that's not normal for him. But a few weeks before, we were celebrating a great catch he had in the end zone to help us beat Carolina. I think that was Carolina. It seemed like forever now. Yeah. But I mean, Kellen would come back like our football team will.
We haven't even talked about Jason Campbell. So let's discuss Jason Campbell. He knows the situation. You're backup quarterback. You're not going to get a ton of reps. You're going to be thrown in at the moment's notice. And you asked him to go and win the game yesterday. And he's got tons of experience. So that must give you great comfort knowing you got a guy like that with that kind of athletic ability, the ability, that throw to Brandon's a perfect example of what he's capable of doing for you.
Yes, it's not like we put a rookie in there that never played. Jason has started a lot of games and played at a high level, and it's been around here. We've seen him do some good things. So, I mean, we felt pretty good with our plan two. But that is plan two that we went with. So, and that's just how, you know, it goes. You know, as far as being a backup, you're not going to get a lot of reps, but you are getting reps. And when the team calls you, we want you to step up and get the job done. If Jason would have to play more, and, you know, we're hopeful that he won't have to play more, but if he does and he has a week or so or a few more days of practice, he'll play even better than he did this time.
Would you prefer some more veteran help at that position if you need it?
You always want veteran help if you can get it. That's your first option, to have another veteran. That's why we have a veteran like Jason in the second role right now. But you still have to just look at what your options are and then go with the best option as much as just going with the veteran option.
And Matt Blanchard on the practice squad, he's in here all the time, constantly studying, working, looking at things. I've seen him around the building almost 24/7. I'm exaggerating, but it seems like it anyway. He's invested. He's got a lot to do.
Yes, and Matt has done a good job with what we've asked him to do, but he is young, and he is learning. And again, Jeff, if it comes to that, and again, I don't think it will come, but if it does come to that, we'll have another good option that we can go with.
All right, it's 7:53 here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz brought to you by Jimmy John's. Your chance to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 p.m. on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. And be sure to watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by Toyota, Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network. In terms of yesterday's performance, were you... Did you really expect the Texans maybe to put the ball up as much as they did? I thought they might just run it every single down. Again, not literally, but because of the conditions and the type of style they have, just run, 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 run. They did throw a fair amount yesterday.
Yes, they did. And you never know.
Yeah. How do you determine?
Because they're probably, as they're looking at it, they're saying, hey, the Bears think we're going to run the ball every time. So let's come out and start throwing it right away and see what we can get. See if we can get a couple, you know, quick ones and get a lead. So you never know. But our defense is set up to defend the run or the pass, and whatever an offense does, I mean, we should be okay.
One of the guys we talked about at length last week was J.J. Watt. We had him for two tackles, I think, in the game. I haven't looked at the final stats even further than that, but did they use him like you thought they would? And what did they do with him?
I mean, they played him in their normal spots. They used him about how we thought they would. And you don't get a totally different game plan with a player like that. He's going to play his normal position, and he's played it, you know, a certain way every time. Our guys played well against him, and against their defensive line, they played well. So, that's progress.
Is that a good growth moment for the offensive line yesterday?
Sure thing. We, like I say, all wasn't lost yesterday from the game. The only thing that really matters in the end, big picture, of course, we lost, but there were some smaller battles that were won.
Special teams, any missed opportunities?
Each week, you know, each game, there are missed opportunities for us. We're going to still continue to talk about getting our return game going. Our return game, just by, you know, Devin being back there, gave us good field position a few times. And we had our special teams allowed us to have some good field position a few times last night.
But you still, that's one aspect of it, right?
Yes,
you still want to see.
No, we need more. But I'm saying that about our entire team. But, yes, that's been a common theme. We need more, and I know everyone associated with the special teams will say that.
All right, let's get your take on the 49ers. We heard Rod Marinelli's. Let's start with the, you know, not yet. Yeah, you're going to have to prepare for both of those quarterbacks anyway because they do use him. He's got three rushing touchdowns as it is. I'm talking about Kaepernick. But if he does start, a young quarterback who's mobile, certainly you've done great work against mobile quarterbacks. Young ones, old ones, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, first off, Jeff, our defense is set up to play against a mobile quarterback. That's why we have a certain type of athlete on the field. We play with athletic guys that can run and all of that. So you start with that. We don't necessarily change up what we're going to do going into a game based on the quarterback. Defense is already set up that way. So whether it's Alex Smith or it's backup, it doesn't really matter. We're going to really go into the game the same way. You get into the game and you see what a team's doing, then you start making adjustments from there. But we know what they're going to bring at us. I mean, they, you know, get off the bus running the football off. So everything comes off of setting up the run, setting up the pass for them. Have an excellent tight end, good big receivers. Rod talked a lot about Frank Gore, excellent running back. They have one of the better offensive lines in NFL. And on the other side of the ball, you know, linebacker and core, great safety, front four, you know, Smith, I guess. So there's a lot of things to be concerned about.
Yeah, Justin Smith, Alden Smith, who is the younger of the two. And I was watching the game yesterday briefly in the press box, and there was a national writer heard conversation about the Texans front four, and in particular about 99. And somebody said, oh, he's a beast. He goes, no, Alden Smith's the beast. What do you know about him?
He is. He's
9.5 sacks.
He's young, and last year came onto the scene strong. He's our kind of defensive end. Good height, you know, size. When I talk size, I'm talking about more, you know, height, quickness. He's a, you know, good athlete, good speed off of the edge, long arms, and he's productive. I mean, he knows how to get to the quarterback. Simple as that.
People love comparing who's got the best at whatever. That is a 3-4, but their linebackers in a 3-4 system have been called many times the best group in the NFL in terms of 3-4 defenses. How do you feel about it?
They have. They are one of the better linebacking crews in NFL. I think most people would say that. But, you know, we're Chicago Bears. I mean, so, you know, we have – You know, in that same sentence, they're going to talk about our linebacking crew also, which we love quite a bit.
Yeah, thing of it is, there's going to be some great players on the field on a Monday night matchup.
A lot of great players.
Whatever buildup was for this one, it's going to be even bigger, I believe. It is an NFC opponent now.
We love playing on Monday night. It should be a heck of a game.
All right, Lovey, we'll talk to you next week on the show on Tuesday night of next week after that Monday night game. That's going to wrap us up here tonight. Thank you to Bears Director of Broadcasting, Greg Miller, producers David Rowe and Andy Gersher, and for Rod Marinelli and Lovey Smith, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1, Elmwood Park, Chicago. Good night, everybody.